WMNF presents the Florida premiere of Sitz Day Ride, the story of America's sidecar dogs, a documentary about the colorful subculture of motorcyclists with sidecars and the dogs who ride in those sidecars. We're screening the movie July 28th at Tampa Picture Show. It's a charming, surprisingly poignant film, and if you love dogs, you'll definitely love Sitz Day Ride. Tickets are just $10, and you can get them or more information at WMNF.org. Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and we've convened a panel of professional pet sitters this morning to discuss various aspects of pet sitting. A timely program, I thought, given how many folks travel during the summer and often need help looking after their dogs, cats, and other animals. Our panel consists of Shelley Hamilton of Perfect Pets, Glenn Hatchell of Home Buddies. I should also note that Glenn is a former WMNF morning show host, and Nina Perino of Love All Beings Pet Sitting. They will all join me in the studio, and later we'll invite you to join the conversation. We'll get to all that in a moment here on Talking Animals. Also later in the show is the prize for Name That Animal Tune. I'll be offering a copy of John Katz's A Second Chance Dog, signed by Katz. Lastly, a reminder, as we just heard a moment ago, that WMNF is screening Sitz Day Ride, the story of America's sidecar dogs, a documentary about the fun and fascinating subculture of motorcyclists with sidecars and the dogs who ride in them. It's screening July 28th, 3 weeks from yesterday at Tampa Picture Show. Not only is the film fabulous in all kinds of ways, it's charming and poignant. And as I keep saying, if you like dogs, you'll love Sitz Day Ride. But also, the theater has a restaurant and full bar, so you can order a meal and or a drink, settle in, and watch the movie. Tickets are just $10. You can get the tickets for more information at WMNF.org or by calling right here, 813-238-8001. And speaking with Miss Julie. Having said all that, let's jump into a discussion about pet sitting with our panelists of pet sitters, again, who are Nina Perino, Glenn Hatchell, and Shelley Hamilton. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me in studio. Again, I probably sound like a very sort of sad, lonely guy because I'm always so excited when there's actually people in the studio because almost all the interviews I do are over the phone or Skype or something. So anyways, thanks for joining me here. So let's start out with each of you introducing yourselves in a sense or two about your pet sitting business. And we'll mix up the order, of course, throughout the show. But let's start with Shelley, and we'll go from there to Glenn and Nia.
Thanks so much, Duncan. My name is Shelley Hamilton. I'm the owner of Perfect Pets. Perfect Pets is a professional pet sitting and dog walking service located in Tampa Bay. We are licensed, bonded, insured, and first aid certified, and your pet is always our number one priority.
And I'm Glenn Hatchell with Home Buddies by Camp Bow Wow. We provide pet sitting services in what I like to say is kind of the northeast quadrant of Hillsborough County and up into Pasco County. And much can be the same for us of what Shelley just said for Perfect Pets. And I think Nina will probably agree with that as well.
Absolutely. My name is Nina Perino, and I am of Love All Beings Pet Sitting. We do dog walking, overnight pet stays, boarding, and vacation visits in the Palm Harbor, Dunedin, Tarpon, Oldsmar, and East Lake area.
So one of the things, not totally by coincidence, we've kind of represented a decent mixture of geography here in terms of where each of our three pet sitters are largely based, even though, as we've heard a little bit, we'll probably hear more, there are sort of broad geography. That is covered from your services with your clients. Let's start now, too, with when you actually began your business and what you did before. So maybe let's start with Nina to get this part started.
Thanks, Duncan. I was actually working for a telephone and DSL company named Windstream at the time. Before that, it was Talk America and Cavalier. I was in the regulatory department handling complaints, filed complaints, and I got laid off after many mergers with the company in August of 2012. And I decided to merge my love for animals and my desire to help people and animals at the same time by starting my business in October of 2012 and named it Love All Beings Pet Sitting.
Glenn, how about you?
Well, I think our stories, so many of our stories are going to be similar this morning. After a career in IT with IBM and AT&T, and then with a business partner, found myself out of a job in the start of 2009. And shortly, or a few months after that, my wife, who was working in finance with one of the big sixes, found out that she was going to lose her job as well. And we thought, okay, what can we do that's not going to get outsourced, you know, and be done by somebody in another country? And then our first thought was, let's start working with animals. Let's look at something in the pet-related business. And at that point in time, Camp Bow Wow had just started offering the pet sitting franchises. And we did a lot of look of starting on our own or going to the franchise. And we started our Home Buddies pet sitting franchise in December of 2009.
And Shelley, your story?
Perfect Pets started in 2010 with our love of animals and a lifetime of experience in caring for them. As we were still working our corporate jobs, we began volunteering at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, walking the dogs, and it's just something that brought us joy and broke the monotony of the corporate day. We realized how much joy it brought us, and Verizon also had a nice little round of layoffs. We began part-time at that time, and then quickly went up to full-time. So essentially, that's how we graduated on, you know, from a career in communications. By the way, my Perfect Pets is owned by both my husband and myself, as Glenn is has been my team as well. And boy, are we glad we crossed that bridge. You know, a wagging tail and a panting, you know, happy face. Yes. It's certainly a nice client to show up to every day when you get to work. So, yeah, that's where we're
that.
Going.
You don't see that in the conference room every day.
No. Yeah.
That's right. You know, I like to say that we're still dealing with number two, but it's a different kind of number two.
A lot of number two.
Indeed. So I'd be curious to know, for each of you, what sort of experiences you had yourselves with pet sitters or pet sitting businesses before you got into it yourselves?
Well, I was lucky enough that I have really good friends that are big animal people that were able to watch my dogs and cats. I did use a professional pet sitter at one time. And when I look back at my instructions for her, when I look at my clients' instructions, because they're very detailed, and I'm like, whoa. I looked at mine from, I dug them up a few years ago, and I was like, wow, I was pretty anal as well. Very detailed instructions of when I wanted them to go out, what they wanted them to eat, how many treats, and everything. So I really never had to use too many professional pet sitters before. So when I got into it, I just did what I normally do, give 100% and keep the animal and the people in mind at all times.
And Nina, it sounds like it was not much, but your own experience in that way, was it a good experience? Not good experience, so-so.
It was so-so, mm-hmm. I would say. Yeah.
And why?
I look back, I know what to look for. Mm-hmm. Somebody that connects with my animal right away and that they gravitate towards them mm-hmm. right away, and how attentive they are.
Yeah.
And how much communication they communicate with you while you're away.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to come back and expand on all that in a moment. But Glenn and Shelley, let's hear a little bit about if you guys, one or both of you, had experiences yourselves with pet sitters before you stepped into the business yourself.
Absolutely. Being in that busy corporate world and being pet parents, we had to reach out. At the time, there weren't a ton of options for pet sitting. This industry is up and coming. We're kind of sitting here, the three of us, as some of the pioneers in Tampa. Just setting a standard to actually call it professional pet sitting, because it should be a high standard. But I think one thing all three of us could agree on is we built our companies on what is everything I would want in my pet sitter,
yes.
and then some, and deliver it and make sure that the pets are getting the highest quality of care.
Okay, Glenn?
We used family and friends. Mm-hmm. But then when I came home from one trip and my sliding glass door had been taken out and was inside upside down, it was like, maybe we need to look at something else. So, but no, it really wasn't bad experiences and such. But we never, we always had family and friends that were available. So we never actually had to use a professional pet sitter. But of course, at that time, too, like Shelley just said,
right.
There really, I don't know that there would have been an option.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing and I say this in the most loving way, knowing how my wife is about our animals, I don't know at that point in time she would have trusted somebody to take care of the dog we had at that time with somebody she didn't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
This is Talk Animals. If you just tuned in, we're holding a panel discussion about pet sitting with these pet sitters, Nina Prino, Love All Beings Pet Sitting, Glenn Hatchell of Home Buddies, and Shelley Hamilton of Perfect Pets. We do hope to incorporate some listener questions and comments into the conversation about your own experiences with pet sitters or questions you have, or if maybe if you're looking around for a pet sitter. And you can call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. So let's get into it. How do you select a pet sitter? What should people look for? Let's start with you, Shelley, and we'll go around.
Absolutely. The first thing you want to ask is, what is your experience and how long have you been in business? This will gauge whether or not they're full-time, part-time. That's another good question to ask. Now, of course, everybody has to start somewhere, and experience is the best teacher, but you'll know, like Nina said, by the way they interact with your pets. Any good pet sitter is going to offer an initial consultation. It is extremely important to review the details of care for your pet and meet them in their environment prior to providing service. That just provides a great comfort to the pet, to the client, and you can make sure it's a fit for the need. Make sure they are licensed, bonded, and insured for your pets and home. Anything less would be a liability on you, and of course anybody in this industry would want to make sure they have those proper credentials. Another thing, pet CPR and first aid trained. We're not veterinarians, but if we have an on-the-spot emergency, it is quite important that we're prepared for that on-the-spot emergency. And who's coming to my house? Employees, independent contractors, are you a solo business? If you are, do you have a backup plan if your car battery goes dead or your transmission blows? All those things have happened to us. Another thing is background checks. You know, again, you are entrusting your pet sitter with your pets and home. You're most valued. I mean, this is your family and your home. You want to make sure it is really tight, whoever is coming in. And what type of training do they offer, you know, as far as for their staff, if there is a staff involved?
Okay, I just want to get some of the others involved. No, that's good.
But I think, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, one of the things that jumped out, I mean, beyond the things I really expected is background training. Background checks. So you actually run a check on the business or the person that
you can, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
we do.
And how often? Yeah.
We do.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's part of the... Actually, before we'll even interview somebody, they've got to agree up front that we are going to run a background check on you. So
okay.
It's not
so
anything
I wonder if it works both ways, because you're saying, if I follow you, because I thought when you were saying that, Shelley, you were saying that you were recommending that people do a background check on the pet sitter or the pet sitting business. But if I follow what you're saying, Glenn, you're saying it would go the other direction as well on the client.
No. When we hire a new employee, one of the processes
Okay, I got you.
But I think a lot of what, and I heard you and Jeff talking about it this morning, what is a professional pet sitter? Because a lot of people chuckle at that. But what Shelley described is exactly the thing, because especially when it comes to the insurance and bonding, because if you have the kid down the street sit for you, they may do it a lot cheaper than we are, than you can get us, for example. But one of the biggest things that insurance claims are filed against pet sitters is water damage. Like the watering the plants or whatever. And I always found it interesting that was always one of the things. So if a professional pet sitter would make a mistake like that, the insurance is going to cover it. If the high school kid down the street leaves it on, you may end up having to replace your floor at your own cost and such.
Interesting.
So it's really little things like that
that
separate someone from having a business of professional pet sitting as compared to, oh, yeah, I'm really good with dogs. I'll come out and walk them during the day.
Well, that's, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, there's a lot more liability involved when you have a professional pet sitter. They're taking on that full responsibility of keeping your pet safe and your home safe. I've prevented leaks from happening in my client's home when their refrigerator was leaking. If I wasn't there, they would have come home to quite a disaster.
Yes, that has happened.
You are totally vigilant when you're with those pets in their home. You are very careful as to leave things as they are, making sure that the pet doesn't come to any harm. And that means watching them when they're walking, that they're not eating anything off the ground. They're not stepping on anything that's harmful. No other dog is going to come running at them, which has happened to me quite a few times, of loose dogs coming up to the dogs that I'm walking. So that was a lesson learned of how to handle that. And just preventing things like that is priceless, because a friend or family member, they're going to come in. They're not going to spend the time with your pet usually as well.
Sure.
You're going to give it the undivided attention to that dog because
that's what you're here for.
And that's what you want to make them happy. That's what you're there for. You're there to please the client on the human and the animal level, whereas a friend or family member is just going to come to get it over with and so they can leave as fast as possible.
And one of the things that's really come clear already is the scope of responsibilities are, I think, much broader than a lot of people would think, just because, again, if the refrigerator, there's a leak there, it's one thing if the pet sitter leaves the water on and God forbid there's water damage in the house. But, if you're away on a two-week trip and something happens, day two and your refrigerator leaks or your water heater bursts, if not for the pet sitter, that's going to be a pretty ugly return from that trip. So,
But we all have clients that we do every day of the week.
Right.
And, our pet sitters know that if they drive up and it's like, wait a minute, the screen's out of that window. That's never out of that window.
Right.
You know, there's little detail like that.
The quirks of their houses.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
That we're going to be able to spot that somebody that just happens to be stopping by, like you said, the kid down the street, I'm going to, take Fido out to pee quick, aren't going to notice those kind of details.
Go ahead, Shelly. Do you have something to add?
Just saying excellent points.
Oh, okay. So let's go even a little step further. So what are the parameters? Because again, already the scope, as I just noted, is larger than I think a lot of people listening would think. So what is reasonable to expect of a professional pet sitter? And what is sort of like over the line or not reasonable to expect of a pet sitter?
Would you like to start with me?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
You seem eager. I'm all for enthusiasm. Yeah.
Is, of course, all the qualifications discussed. We're on to the next. And that they're going to provide exercise, structure, companionship, routine. Their 100% focus is on your pet. That they are going to properly review the details of your pet. Communicate properly. How's your pet doing while you're gone? We, personally, as a company, send daily text updates. What not to expect. Your dog that you never had basically trained or isn't behaviorally sound is all of a sudden going to magically become that because we can take them for a walk.
Right.
Don't expect that. That's why we do the consult. We want to make sure, too, because we're a great resource for our clients. I believe Glenn even offers training in his umbrella as a company, and we couldn't promote that more. Let the trainers do what they do best. But if I find that a dog is behaviorally unfit or unsound and in dire need of training, I'm able to recommend a trainer. If they have skin issues and need grooming, we can recommend a grooming. So what I'm saying is, we're real basically also a wealth of resources for the other care areas of your pet. Another thing not to expect of a professional pet sitter is to cook your pot roast for dinner or,
I've cooked for animals, though.
Oh, yes.
What's that?
We do that.
I've had to scramble eggs, make fried eggs, and a lot of fancy diets.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing that's something that, again, in that consultation or otherwise, has been spelled out, and you've said...
Not always, no, because their diets
change. So this is something you're surprised to find yourself doing?
Yes, these are surprised. Wow. Okay, now Sonny is needing to have a fried egg with his... because he won't eat his kibble, and this is what he'll do, and all kinds of... add this, put it over here. If he doesn't do that, pick it up and do that. So there's a lot of things
good
like
point,
that.
Good point, Nina. And that's the thing. We're pet-centric. We'll cook for the dogs. We're just not cooking the family's dinner before we get out here because I have been
asked. But all that, I guess, is spelled out in that consultation. Or at least if there's an adjustment,
yes.
Then I would assume there would probably be an expected adjustment to the fee because you're cooking an egg or doing some other stuff that you didn't allow
that
for that length
one,
of
though.
Time. Yeah?
Well,
so how is that handled?
That's the thing, though. Like, it's something you discuss at consultations so you don't run into hazard is a dog allergic to chicken? Are they allergic to anything? Because I don't want to cook them an egg if they're allergic to chicken.
Right.
Then I'll be taken to the vet. So those details and that preparation is the key to success in professional pet sitting and having a great experience with your pet sitter.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere into that, after that consultation, like I say, if something changes or the demands on you or your time changes, is it then expected that there would be a renegotiation of that fee or how that works from day to day or from visit to visit
or the time that it's going to take for the visit. I want you to come in for a half an hour and also cook, scrambled egg and stuff. It's like, well, do you want Fido to have a shorter walk or do you want us to do a longer visit to be able
how
to accommodate
that time
through that?
Working?
Right,
I
right,
see.
Right.
And we should note too that we can't, as I mentioned to everybody before we went on the air, we can't really get into the fees that are charged just because of the nature of our license here at WMNF. But I'm going to give everybody, in fact, I'm going to do that right now and we'll do it a couple other times. The website, so you can go and find the fees for that Nina, Shelley, and Glenn do charge, or send them a note if it's not spelled out. So Perfect Pets is callperfectpets.com.
Correct.
And Glenn's is a little more involved, unless you can help me out with this. But it's campbowwow.com/HB.
Actually, yes, I can be a good much.
Okay.
Myhomebuddies.com slash Tampa NE.
Okay. All right. Well, that's I'll take it. That's better. And then Nina's is loveallbeingspetsitting.com.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about how, I mean, how, I guess it's just totally different from case to case, but is it all about how many visits that you're doing, and how often proportionally is it going to someone's home versus doing something, either, you know, take them out on a walk, but even maybe if they're gone, caring for them at your house, or is that kind of a rarity?
I'm able to do that because when I started pet sitting, I had already lost my cat and my two dogs, so I just have my cat, so I'm able to take dogs into my home. I only do that with one client's dogs at a time, usually small dogs, but I will take a big dog, one big dog, because my cat's pretty dog friendly. So it varies. I'll stay overnight as well in people's homes and also do dog walking while I'm there, and vacation visits, whatever basically the client feels the dog is going to be most comfortable at. Some dogs are most comfortable in their own homes, and I have a lot of clients that never went on vacation before they met me because of that fact. A lot of people work from home now, so their dogs and cats are used to somebody being there all the time, so that's why they choose the overnight. And some dogs don't do well in somebody else's environment. Some dogs are great. So we usually do, like you said, the free meet and greet. Come over, check out my house, make sure it's up to your standards. And I come over to your house and make sure I know their routine and their environment as well. And then we choose. Sometimes if it's too far, I'll offer, hey, why don't you have the dog come stay with me? Because I've had that a couple of weeks ago where the client was willing to pay me extra to go further. I'm like, it's really just too far for me to come here on visits. So we had the puppy come and stay with me, and that was awesome, because it was a little doxy puppy.
Okay.
So just basically whatever the client, let them choose and just keep the offer open and see what works.
And having said that, is there kind of a standard, though, like arrangement that you guys find yourself more often doing, either with visits or walking or whatever? Maybe Glenn, why don't you start off?
I think pretty much the standard are the daily, you know, your daily midday walks of people who are working. And for various reasons, it could be a senior pet who can't hold it as long as they used to and needs to go out regularly. It can be a young dog that's got a lot of energy needs that exercise. So there's a variety of reasons that people would want the midday, but that's really, I think, probably for all of us, the bread and butter. And then you have the other things that are that really are quite fun and also can be major service, and that's the overnight cares, which we do an extremely large amount of overnight pet sitting and such. We decided early on, because of the animals and the fact of doing a lot of foster, we don't bring animals into our home and do it, just because that would bring another level of complexity in our life that it's like we couldn't deliver the level of service we would want to if we were doing that.
Even though
in some cases you'd say, wouldn't that be easier? Not necessarily, as I'm sure you found out in some cases there, Nina. But then there's the occasional. I mean, we have some clients that when they travel, they've got, as a lot of people in Florida have, incredibly beautiful backyards. And sometimes you can depend on the rain and sometimes not. And we have some clients who have animals that are sometimes there, and sometimes they just want us to come water their plants while they're traveling. So a lot of times as home care, which we all, you know, we talked about a little bit, is a big part of our pet sitting business. We actually end up with a number of clients who want us to watch their home while they are traveling like that, even though there's no pets involved. So
that's really,
it's kind of, it's like, you know, it's not, we'll kind of, if it's legal, we will consider doing it.
Well, and also for them, I could see that, because we've already established that folks like you are bonded, are insured. So there's certain things that if those folks take the animal with them on the trip, but say, hey, why don't you look after the house or bring in the mail or do whatever? I'm sure there's a level of comfort that they have just knowing what credentials and background you guys bring, whether there's an animal there or not.
Right.
I did want to add a taxi service. I don't know. Do you guys do taxi service?
Because
I will
do
that off once in a while. I'll have a client that needs taxi service, which is kind of a neat thing to do for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Great way to get to the groomer. We only offer it for our regular existing clients. We don't do it as a standalone service. But that's kind of the point we're getting to here. We are full service pet care providers. And if we don't have the solution, we'll recommend you to the solution. Another thing, too, with the overnight care, we don't do boarding, by the way, at Perfect Pets in our home, but we'll be happy to recommend a boarder if that's a better option or an overnight sitter. We are fully booked with our overnight service because there's only so many nights you can stay away during the year.
Right, exactly.
So we're not accepting new clients for overnight service at this time, but our vacation service is structured with three visits. We require a minimum of three visits while you're away for vacation, and that just keeps them nice and structured in their routine, plenty of exercise, because especially when you're away, you want as much companionship as possible so they don't get the, you know, the booze and I miss mom and dad. Keep exercise is the key to a calm dog.
Right.
Now, in addition to that, like Glenn was saying, one of our most popular services, and yours as well, is our daily dog walk service. You know, gone are the days where your dog just had to sit and rot in the house while you're on a 10-hour corporate workday. Now you have these professional options to come in and provide the exercise, the structure, and the routine that your pets direly need. And one bit of feedback I get from my clients time and time again is, you have literally changed our lives. Like, I come home from work and my dog is not climbing the walls and jumping all over me and just looking pathetic. He doesn't give me the guilt look when I go away because he knows we're getting the visit from Perfect Pets. And I'll tell you what, the most wag of the tail happens on Monday on those daily dog walks. They're like, where you been all weekend? I can't wait to see you.
Me too.
But it's a joy, and it's so nice to be able to provide them with this quality of life and that these options are available. So glad you're opening up the discussion.
It's like a midday buddy comes in. They're like, oh, my best friend's coming over. I'm going to get to walk and play and pee and poop and have a treat, get my belly rubbed, and then I'll go back to sleep.
Wow. And when you put it that way, Nina, I'd like to sign up for that.
Life.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We've actually asked people, can you come walk me? I'm really off my
schedule. And when those owners stay at home for have a day off and stay at home, and then they tell us the next day that, you know, right around 1 o'clock, my dog was sitting at the door waiting for you to show up. Because they don't see those things. You know, probably for you guys, for a lot of your clients, we meet them at that first meet and greet. That's the only time we meet our clients.
Right.
There's a tremendous amount of communication that happens every day.
Right.
But, you know, they don't see our interaction with their pets until they're home on an unexpected day and their pets are wondering, wait a minute, where's my buddy?
Yeah.
They come home from vacation and the dog is looking for you. They're like,
This
isn't supposed to happen. They're looking for you. They didn't miss me.
That's so funny. Well, let me ask one other question, then I'm going to remind people who we are, and then there's already a bunch of text questions that come in. We'll try to get some of those worked into the conversation as well. But as far as that initial meet and greet, how often or under what circumstances do you have one of those where you think either because of the dog or cat or the human, I don't think this is going to really work out for me, and then if that does happen, how do you handle that? How do you, I mean, express that to the...
We've learned to say no. Early on, especially when we started the business, we didn't want to say no to anybody. And we took on a couple of clients that just weren't the right situation because the dog was scared of people.
Mm.
And we really learned early on that there are some times, much like Shelley was saying, and I'll, you know, don't want to plug myself here again, but your dog needs some training to work through this. And sometimes it's training. Sometimes it's your dog needs to go to the vet. You need to talk to your vet about some medicines. And sometimes there can be some pretty easy fixes. But after you've been in the business for a little while, you realize that if you try to take on a pet that isn't comfortable with it, you're not going to have a satisfied client. And it's better to tell them no right up front rather than trying to, well, let me see if I can make it work. And then you end up with these issues, whether it's a pet sitter getting bit or a dog who backs up into their crate or backs up into the corner. But then there's also some dogs that if you have, even if they're a little hesitant, if you can see that little glimmer during the initial conversation or during the initial consultation, and you know that either they like a ball or a treat or something like that, it may take 10 or 15 minutes to get them comfortable. But sometimes after that 10 or 15 minutes, because there's somebody new that's in the house and mom and dad's not here, that you pull out that leash and then it's like, oh, we're going for a walk. Okay, I'm okay with you now.
But it takes. So you don't want to make too hasty a judgment then in those situations, because there might be that sort of little thing that turns it around.
Right. Yeah. But for a lot of dogs, and that's one of the reasons, unfortunately, a lot of people want a pet sitter, is because my dog really needs to go out into the walk during the day, but he doesn't really like people a whole lot. And we're not magicians.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And some dogs need a lot more help than others do. But fortunately, it's I mean, that's really still a pretty rare occurrence because most people have a dog like that, really, unless they're in a in a dire situation, aren't going to call in some stranger, even if they're a professional pet sitter, to come in and deal with their, to walk their dog who doesn't like people to begin with.
Sure. Two quick things. One is, since Shelley already mentioned this, I guess we should note that beyond the basic kind of services, it sounds like, that you guys, each of you provide, there are some specific things that beyond that, and I guess, Glenn, one example would be dog training that I guess is sort of an offshoot of the Home Buddies, or is that sort of under the umbrella, or how do you view that?
It's kind of under the umbrella, but we've got pet sitting and dog training, and we can kind of blend if there's... Because one of the things that I do offer in kind of a limited fashion is a walk and train. So if it's a dog that really does pull on the leash, then I can do some of the dog walks while working with the techniques to get that dog to walk better on the leash. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that in a vacuum. That's going to be part of an overall training plan that I've got in place with a client and with the dog and such.
Sure. And so far, at least, our conversation's kind of been a little bit dog-centric. To what extent do each of you care for cats part of your...
Cats.
I would say, I think for about 40% of our business is cats only.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty, it's much
that,
higher than we
ever
see.
We're running about the same, 40%.
And Nina, how about you?
Probably a little less.
Okay.
Yeah. I attract more dog clients, and I've come across some cats that, cats don't take to you as quick as dogs do, and they can smell the... You're a dog person, I think. They can smell the dogs on you.
But
only meet, when you do the free meet and greet with the cats, the problem is it's not enough time for a cat to really warm up to you. And then people usually only have you see their cat every other day or once a day. Mm. So they don't really have time to really warm up to you until you've sat with them a few times.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I also, we find probably percentage-wise, more of our cat clients, there's special needs such as medicine that needs to be administered than there would be for dogs.
Sure.
Not in every case, but probably percentage-wise, there's probably more cats.
Insulin is a big one. Insulin shots.
Yeah, and I imagine subcutaneous fluids for those with kidney difficulties, et cetera. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. We're holding a panel discussion about pet sitting with these pet sitters, Glenn Hatchell of Home Buddies, Nina Perino of Love All Beings Pet Sitting, and Shelley Hamilton of Perfect Pets. We welcome listener questions or comments. Please call 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. So, in fact, let's get one of our callers involved right now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with our pet sitting panel.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I was calling in because there was music preempting your show. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay. I don't think there was music preempting. Maybe at the top of the show there was music that you heard. Did you have a question for our pet sitting panel, though?
Actually, no. I'm just enjoying the show, so everybody else get on.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. So let's run through some of our text. A lot of things have come in. Well, here's something simple that I think we can... answer. Do any of you work South Tampa or have recommendations?
I do not.
You can contact, I can make some recommendations, but you can contact us offline for that.
Okay, and
I would like to say you can go to www.tampabaypetsitters.com. That is a network of professional pet sitters, and you just enter your zip code and the area that is covered will come up.
That's a good point. And
pet
also,
sitters available
and
on that site.
Petsit.com as well. There's several resources online to find.
Yeah.
And actually, if any of our engineering folks, it turns out our caller wasn't as mistaken as I've just gotten a string of texts about tech problems. We're getting a music mix, I guess, on the broadcast signal. So I'm sorry about that. And, of course, people at least online seem to be hearing things okay. So I'm not quite sure what's up, but hopefully we'll get that corrected as soon as possible. Let's take another caller here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with our pet sitting panel.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So walking around the neighborhood over the last several years, it's a new neighborhood that I've moved into. All my neighbors have been asking me if I train dogs because I'm always helping people to walk their dogs better on a leash, instead of pulling on the dog all the time. So now I listen to your show and I'm wondering about what would someone like me who has no professional experience in handling pets, besides the really good idea of volunteering at the at an animal shelter of some kind, how else would someone like me go about starting a business? I mean, you talk about getting insured and bonded. Is that an expensive process? Is there a government agency I need to contact about all this? Maybe a little bit on the subject. I'll take my information off the air.
Okay, thanks for your call. Okay, so how do you want to help this newfound competitor launched?
Start getting asked a lot by friends and family. Everybody wants to be a pet sitter after they see that you can make a living at it.
They don't always exactly want the schedule of a pet sitter, though, and they don't always exactly. So my best advice is you better have a burning passion in your heart for caring for animals to start. Yes, volunteering. It is a win-win for the community. You get to know every dog type, temperament, breed. Also, you're dealing with shelter animals that direly need the exercise and, you know, that community effort. As far as expensive, it's a matter of how much you value your long-term business. It's not cheap. Just like with starting any individual business, you want to structure yourself properly. If you do those things, you're going to save yourself a world of money, chaos. You just kind of do your research, kind of like how we all started. You know, what is everything I would want in my pet sitter? Write it down as the structure
research,
of your company.
Research.
Go to PetSit.com. It's an excellent association of professional pet sitters that are bonded and insured. They'll be more than happy to lead you in the right direction to become a member. And all we ask is that you do an excellent job each and every time out. And, you know, just learn as much as possible. I think if you were going to go into any profession, communications, you're going to want to learn everything about communications. If you want to go into pet sitting, you're going to want to learn everything about the dogs, cats, and, you know, wonderful creatures that you're going to be caring for. So educate yourself, structure yourself, get out there and work and network and walk some dogs and pet some cats, because that's experience, again, is the best teacher.
All right, well, let's run through at least a few of our email and or text questions. So one is, we sort of touched on, but maybe not specifically enough, how long is your average stay at a home when you do a visit? Just real quick answers here so we can kind of keep moving. We're just unfortunately nearing the end of our time.
Most of ours are 30 minutes.
Okay. Is that pretty much
same here, 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
The midday daily dog walk is a 20-minute walk service, less if it's too hot. But, you know, as far as the time gauge, 20 to 30 minutes per visit.
So it can go up to 45 minutes sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you have to make the egg, right?
Yeah. Well, you have to walk the dog separate. Yeah. If you have two dogs, you have to walk the dog separate, clean a litter box.
Gotcha.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
We get a little bit more involved, and if you have rain issues, then...
Sure. Or multiple dogs that aren't necessarily great walking together, and you've got to walk one and then walk the other. It could end up easily be an hour. But most of ours are 30-minute visits, as far as our bread and butter.
Yeah. And this one, I think we kind of addressed this, but they say, do they do any other animals and dogs? We've established that cats are...
done iguanas and
what
birds.
What other animals outside of dogs and cats?
Anything.
Yeah, okay.
Ferrets.
Ferrets, okay.
I've not done ferrets. I've done rabbits and guinea pigs, too.
Yeah, rabbits, hamsters.
Okay. And by the way, I think the music issue was resolved. I got a text on my own phone that was briefly, it was on the internet as well. Anyway, but I think that's all fixed now. So one of the other questions that came up was, have anybody encountered, I guess this would just be in that initial meet and greet, any sort of situations with hoarding?
Oh, that's a good question.
No, we haven't. And here's the thing. Most people that are hoarders aren't the kind of person that call a pet sitter.
Right.
Because, I mean, the people that call a pet professional pet sitter are people who care for and take care of their animals. So it's kind of that, you know, bit of...
I have run into that one time, and it was kind of like what Glenn and Nina were talking about earlier. You have to say no sometimes, and you have to gauge what's going on here. And that was one that I had to decline and also advise that, you know, the number of pets just wouldn't be healthy or fitting for a pet sitting structure. It would be outside the scope of what we do.
Okay. But along that line, if somebody calls, and we've had this call before, of, you know, we have three dogs, but they all stay outside the whole time. We won't care for dogs that live outside.
No.
And so, I mean, there are some rules and structures along that line that it's like there's various risks, or it's like, you know, a dog shouldn't live outside, and we won't address them. We normally don't call animal services either, but we would if all of a sudden it's like, that's not right, you know.
Gotcha. All right, well, unfortunately, we're just sort of nearing the end of our time, but we're going to try to work in a few more questions, including one of our callers. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with our pet sitting panel.
Hello, I just wanted to ask about treating animals with subcutaneous fluid. I have a cat who requires that every other day, and other medical issues, pills, and other treatments. How is that handled, and how does that work into the fee structure? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. Again, we can't get into the specifics of fees to answer that part of the question, but again, we'll go over the websites for each of the three one more time before we say goodbye here. But, and I think I'd mentioned at least subcutaneous fluids, because I've had at least one cat, or sort of two, that had those kind of kidney issues. So, but yeah, how does that work in terms of figuring in your visit? And without getting into specifics, what would that do to your fees? I assume that would elevate it just because that's more time and effort than just coming by. And
it does. And there is is an additional charge. Won't say the amount. Mm-hmm. But it is important. That's a good question to ask, is what is your experience? Are they, you know, vet tech certified for sub-Q fluids, insulin injections? And like you said, that is very common with cats, especially cats that are dealing with renal failure. But most importantly for the pet sitter, the cat allows us to handle them for these procedures. They can be comfortable as and purring like a champ when their parents do it. We try to do it, and they're like,
it's a
you
bloody
better
mess.
Get your hands off me. And when a cat flight, you're going to get scratched. Yeah. So that's another thing with the initial consultation. You want to make sure there's a comfort level there. But yes, that is offered, but there's generally a additional charge.
Sure.
I have
totally
not run into that myself. I do have a vet tech degree and was certified before I started pet sitting. I've not had sub-Q requests, just insulin. And when I do have an insulin client, I ask them to draw it all up in the refrigerator for me. Even though I know how to do it, I don't want any mistakes of dosage issues. And if I have to chase the cat around, usually they're cats that are usually just, they're great about it. And it has to be that way. The sub-Q thing, I believe if a cat is that sick, and that ill, I usually recommend that they stay at the vet, honestly, because I just don't think that that is a good fit for me to sit and do sub-Q fluids, even though I've had to do it for my cat. That's a very touchy situation. It depends on the stay. It depends on how long they're going to be and how many times. But I've really not had to run into that. Not real comfortable taking care of that ill of a cat for them unless they really have to go away for a business trip or something like that.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, one thing that we talked about a little bit before off the air, and I think, again, since we live in Florida, we're talking here in Florida, it's July in Florida. So let's talk a little bit. Unfortunately, we only have just maybe a minute or two left before we got to say goodbye, I'm afraid. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about heat, humidity, and rain and how that alters your jobs and adjustments that people need to make with those challenges in mind. Glenn,
so we have, like our midday visits, we have a certain range that we tell the clients, you know, that we'll take your animals out between 11 and 2, and we were talking about this before, we all have a number of our favorite weather apps to watch the see what's going on with the storms and such. And between that time frame, then that's kind of how we'll adjust whether or not Fido goes out at 11:30 that day or, you know, at 1 o'clock. A lot of it based on weather. And just we all carry a lot of water with us. So that's really a lot of it. Of, you know, a pet sitter is probably as good, your second best choice from a meteorologist as far as what the weather forecast is going to be.
Oh, that's good to know. All right.
And the dogs will let you know if a storm is coming from 5 miles away.
They
but
will.
Yeah, it's daily adjustments. And you always want to gauge for heat. Look at signs of any type of, you know, exhaustion, exertion, overpanting. Another good one, if you're walking on pavement, the 5-second rule. Put the back of your palm on the pavement. If you can't hold it for 5 seconds, your dog's paws do not need to be on that pavement. So it's a brutal summer we're dealing with this year. Keep them in the shade, keep them cool, keep them exercised, but don't overdo them.
Excellent.
All right. And so I think we established that there's a cat that lives with you, Nina, but I don't know if we've heard about who lives with each of you. Shelly, how many critters have we got there and who are they?
Well, we were 4 minus 1 recently, not wanting to make anyone sad, but I have my 2 dogs, Memphis and Lucy, both rescues, and Tiggy, another rescue, and our late Homer, just recent. That's been our crew for years and years and years.
Cool. And Glenn?
I've got a corgi mix named Scout and a Roddy mix named Hamill, who has spent a number of times in the studio here.
Absolutely.
And 3 cats who are in and out all the time and love the neighbors as much as they love us.
Cool. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to gild a little. I'm going to work in one quick thing just because it's very timely. And I meant to ask this, and this just came in from one of our emailers. First of all, their subject line says, great panel. So thank you, great panel. But this is, do you do anything special for pet sitting animals during possible fireworks? Timely in the wake of 4th of July weekend that just finished. We're going to have to keep it really brief, I'm afraid, but I'd like to address that if we could. Yeah.
If you could please provide some easy listening background music for the pet parents at home. And that's what we do as pet sitters. We also create a safe space for them away from hazards, where if they did get stressed and start jumping around, they can't injure themselves. But muffling that background sound, creating the safe space, making sure they have plenty of water to stay hydrated, always keep their ID tags on and basically keep them inside at all times during any time of fireworks and things like that. Get them out for the exercise to tire them out when things are calm. But when things aren't, those are some good tips to help keep them happy and relaxed.
And it's also one of the questions asked during an initial consultation about, you know, fireworks, you know, loud bangs, thunders, what kind of things, you know, phobias and such, anxiety, things that can cause anxiety for the dog. So that's also something we know early on. But we have had New Year's Eve. I mean, that's a pretty common, you know, can you come and spend 3 hours at our house because our dogs have fireworks and we're going to a party.
Oh, yeah. I see. Just they're not left alone. Right. Yeah. We stopped going out on New Year's Eve and 4th of July just for the same kind of reasons. But all right. Anybody else have any 4th of July thing to add? I think that's pretty good.
I did have a shutdown dog this weekend. He was really terrified of the fireworks. So between the thunder and the fireworks, when he got outside, he was just so scared. But he did good. And when I put the TV on for him, I hung out there with him and the other dog and the cat just to keep them calm.
Cool.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. No, it's tricky. It's challenging. And again, as you've noted, some animals actually seem unfazed by it, which is always weird to me now. And some are just totally destroyed by it. Anyway, okay, so I'm afraid we are now out of time, but our panelists, again, we've been hearing from Nina Perino from Love All Beings Pet Sitting. That's loveallbeingspetsitting.com. Shelley Hamilton from Perfect Pets, and that's callperfectpets.com. And Glenn Hatchell from Home Buddies, myhomebuddies.com/TampaNE. Okay, yes. There's no slash in that
one? Oh, there is a slash.
Okay. Okay, so it's myhomebuddies.com/TampaNE to reach Glenn. Okay, well, thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, Duncan.
Talking Animals.
A lot of great information.
And maybe we'll do a sequel down the road because there's still more stuff, of course, that we all would have liked to have covered. But I think we covered a lot of the key things today. So thanks so much.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner with a piece that ties directly into our panel discussion, at least the part that involves looking after dogs. It's also an example of why Amy Schumer is on fire in comedy circles at the moment, including a major profile set to run in the Sunday's New York Times. This is a sketch called Doggy Daycare from Inside Amy Schumer on Talking Animals.
Bye, Addison. Have fun. Play nice. Okay, I left grass-fed bison with the woman at the front. That's all she can eat.
First day dropping him off at daycare?
Yeah. I got him when he was 10 minutes old. I'm still breastfeeding him.
Oh, I could never adopt a puppy.
Absolutely not. Puppies get adopted so quickly.
My Duke, he was 14 when I rescued him. His owners had just dropped him off at the shelter to die, and I was like, not all, man.
You're coming with me.
Mrs. Belvedere is a rescue from Hurricane Katrina. She was up on a roof with this little boy whose parents had drowned, and I just thought, that little orphan boy can't take care of a dog. So I choppered in and rescued her right off that roof.
What happened to the boy?
What boy?
Duke lost his legs when a cop shot him in St. Louis.
See, my dog has severe body image issues. You should see how she sees herself.
Well, Addison has advanced stage FOMO. Fear of missing out.
I had to completely take him off social media. It's too stressful.
Have you thought about medication? Because my rescue is on Prozac for anxiety.
Yeah, and Duke is on Xanax for separation issues.
Addie's on Valtrex because we share a prescription.
But that is it for medication because family history of addiction.
Well, I didn't get my guy vaccinated because Jenny McCarthy said it can cause autism.
I followed her advice too. I got my dog a cat because pets make you live longer.
Oh,
yeah.
She knows it all.
There's nothing she doesn't know.
Bye, quinoa.
Oh, cute purebred.
Yeah, what mall did you get her from?
Oh. The Darfur Galleria. It's in the Sudan. He was a child dog soldier and was abandoned by the Bedouin militia when they found out he was gay. So, I guess I did get him at a mall.
Okay, Daisy, back at daycare.
Is your dog dead?
Yeah. They just put her down at the pound about a month ago, and I was like, I'll take her. I was just doing what any hero would do, but she's my hero.
Yeah.
Right on. Oh. Baby has four legs.
Right? I'm always like, who rescued who?
Exactly.
My dog's like a person.
That was Amy Schumer from Inside Amy Schumer and Company with a sketch called Doggy Daycare. Again, our thanks to our pet sitting panelists, Shelley Hamilton, Glenn Hatchell, and Nina Perino. Coming up at 11 on WMNF, it's Rob Lori and Radioactivity. Now rolling into the noon hour, it constitutes a full 2 hours of interviews, phone calls, news, and more. Meanwhile, as the prize for Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a copy of John Katz's A Second Chance Dog, signed by Katz, no less. So this is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WMNF in the last 90 days. If you're the first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. If we get guesses, people who can name that animal tune, we'll probably take them off the air because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Rob Laurie is up next with what amounts to 2 hours of radioactivity. I'll be back next Wednesday, July 15th, when my guest will be musician and composer Harry Mira, who has created I Am, I Am, a collection of songs featuring vocalizations of great apes that are extraordinary, this music on multiple levels. The way the open vocalizations are integrated is enchanting, and the music, it's sort of blues-based and global rhythms, could really stand on its own. It's easy to imagine hearing at least some of these songs on public radio shows that have nothing to do with animals. So we'll definitely hear a sampling of I Am, I Am, along with chatting Harry Mira next Wednesday on Talking Animals. I hope you'll join me for that. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our email newsletter to find out more, and including of our guests coming up a couple days beforehand. Get a sneak preview, as it were. Other news from the Talking Animals world. It's all found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And we'll hope that you'll get your tickets right now. Why not? Go to WMNF.org and get your tickets for Sit, Stay, Ride, this very cool documentary. Again, if you like dogs or any animals, really, you're going to love this documentary. It's July 28th, 7:30 p.m., Tampa Picture Show. $10 gets you in. It's going to be cool. There's food at the theater, there's a full bar at the theater, and the movie itself is just fantastic, so hopefully we'll see you then. Meanwhile, I hope to see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talk Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio. Thanks for listening. Speak again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.